Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Blaustein, and today we're going to be studying Nehemiah chapter 4. In the last chapter, we were simply told which groups of people build which section of the wall until the circumference of the walls of Jerusalem were closed. We were also told of the mockery and the threats posed by Sambalat and his fellow opposers to the building project. Chapter 4 opens by emphasizing that a fourth group has now joined the opposition, the Ashdodites. So that means that the Judeans rebuilding the city walls of Jerusalem are now surrounded by enemies on all four sides, enemies that threaten to attack them. This situation of having enemies surrounding the city of Jerusalem no doubt brought up a deep trauma in the communal memory of the Judeans, and that is the siege that the Babylonians placed around the city of Jerusalem leading up to the final destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and the city. Just as Sambalat and the enemies intend, this has a profound effect on the builders. They say in verse 4, in a line that has rhyme, which is pretty rare for biblical Hebrew, Vayomer Yehuda, Kashal koach hasabal, v'ha'afar harbe, v'anachnu lo nuchal livnot bachoma. Judah was saying, the strength of the basket carrier has failed, and there is so much rubble. We are not able ourselves to rebuild the wall. Rashi notes that they survey the half-built project, and they despairingly note just how far they still have to go until they have anything that will really resemble complete city walls. It's also important to note that this isn't a one-time declaration. This is meant to be read as sort of a refrain that was said by the Judeans over and over. Each time Sambalat and his fellow enemies would provoke the Judeans, they would walk around mumbling and grumbling. It really is a pathetic description, and it's a total reversal of how the Judeans were described in chapter 3, Vayhi lev la'am la'asot, the people's heart was in the work. And it's pretty clear why the Judeans are so demoralized. Verse 5 tells us, Vayomru tzarenu lo yedu v'lo yiru ad asher navoa tocham v'haragnum v'hishpatnu et hamlacha. Our enemies were saying, before they know or see it, we shall be among them and kill them and put a stop to the work. The enemy's tactic is to threaten to attack them in secret. So night and day, the builders are faced with the reality that at any moment they might be attacked. Truly a demoralizing situation. Nehemiah quickly acts to deal with this threat. Firstly, as verse 3 tells us, V'na'amid mishmar alehem yomam v'layla mipneihem. He sets up a 24-hour watch. Secondly, Nehemiah arranges the work so that families, along with guards, are grouped together. The guards are holding swords. That way, everybody is guarding their families. As Nehemiah tells them in verse 8, Al tir'u mipneihem, et Hashem hagadol v'hanora zichru, v'hilachmu al achichem, b'neichem ubnotechem, neshechem uvatechem. Don't be afraid of them. Think of the great and awesome God, fight for your brothers, your sons and daughters, your wives and your homes. The enemy's secret attack plan isn't so secret. So Nehemiah and his builders are armed, and they're showing themselves to be capable of fending off an attack. With this sense of protection, they are able to return to work. And Nehemiah, in verse 9, attributes this to Hashem. Vayafar Elokim etzatam. Hashem thus frustrated their plan. Feeling confident that an attack is no longer imminent, Nehemiah is able to order everybody back to work, but with two key ongoing measures of protection. He assigns half of the group to resume building, but half of the workers aren't going to be building. They're going to be standing guard holding weapons. And verse 11 describes that. Habonim b'choma v'hanosim b'sevel, Omsim ba'achat yado oseh b'mlacha ve'achat mechazeket hashalach. Kind of reminiscent of the stories of the chalutzim in Israel. Even the basket carriers are doing work with one hand and in the other hand holding a weapon. Nehemiah also arranges that right next to him is a trumpeter, and he instructs the people, B'mkom asher tishmu et kol shofar, shama tikapzu elenu, elokeinu yilachem lanu. When you all hear the trumpet call, gather yourselves to me at that place. Our Hashem will fight for us. Nehemiah ordering the people to take action as soon as they hear the kol shofar is somewhat reminiscent of Yehoshua chapter 6, when they're fighting against Jericho. The shofar is blown and the city walls collapsed. Except now, the situation is reversed. They are rebuilding the city walls. The shofar's role is also once again to signal attack. But in this case, it's not to go on the offensive. It's to gather the builders and to defend the city in case Sanballat and his fellow opposers attack. It seems like Nehemiah is being recast as a new Yehoshua of sorts. In another measure of protection, Nehemiah also orders everyone to sleep in Jerusalem overnight and not to go home to their surrounding towns or villages outside the city. Furthermore, they're to sleep in their clothing, ready at a moment's notice in case there is an attack at night. Chapter 4, then, in summary, shows that the mocking words of Sanballat and Samaria and his followers aren't perceived as just empty threats. The wind is taken out of their sails, so to speak, but they keep building despite the fear of attack. We also saw that Nehemiah ensured that precautions were taken to make sure that the builders were armed and vigilant, and to ensure that the builders remain focused on their goal of restoring Jerusalem to her former glory. In the next chapter, we'll learn a little bit more about what was going on for the Judeans during this time period and how difficult life was from a not just practical perspective, but economic perspective as well. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilo Nishmat Rose Forman, Rachel Rachel Bat Aryeh Lieb, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel Bat Shlomo.